paintings of Stanley Spencer were lit up with a religious joy, located in his beloved home village of Cookham. Take, for instance, the famous The Resurrection, Cookham, where his friends and neighbours are shown emerging from their tombstones in the local churchyard. The great weight of eschatological destiny is unfolding in a very cosy, homely way in this Berkshire village on the Thames. In 1952, Stanley Spencer was part of a delegation of English artists and intellectuals who visited China. The party had to listen to a harangue from Zhou Enlai. At its close, a gloomy silence fell, broken then by Stanley Spencer's high-pitched voice, agreeing that they ought to get to know the new China better, but admonishing Zhou Enlai that the new China ought to get to know Cookham better. I feel at home in China because I feel that Cookham is somehow somewhere near, just around the corner. Every life is located in a landscape. Galilee was the place of belonging for Jesus. He rarely ever left it. There is not much of it. From north to south is about as far as here, from here to Balclutha, from east to west, from here to Lawrence. Jesus rarely ever saw the ocean. His house and home base was at Capernaum, on the edge of a large inland lake called the Sea of Galilee. His neighbours were fishermen who worked the lake intensively so that the nearby salting and smoking factory at Magdala could keep up the large export volumes for the cities of the empire. Capernaum was a taxation centre. That shadowy group in the Gospels called the Herodians hovered around, making sure that their master's revenue base was doing well. The puppet king, Herod Antipas, had recently built a lakeside city called Tiberias to the south of Capernaum. His program was to integrate Galilee into the world economy by raising exports and by modernization. Sound familiar? Modernization meant building cultural copies of Roman cities filled with Gentiles. That, of course, meant increasing taxation and forcing Galilee's fishermen and farmers to work harder. The north of Galilee was mountainous, sparsely inhabited, and produced little. The south was flatter, more populated, with many small farm holdings of vineyards and peasant farms. Jesus had grown up in the region of Nazareth. He would have noticed the increasing desperation of families driven off their land by tax burdens, crop failures, and indebtedness. For these people, the alternatives were to become day labourers on the steadily encroaching commercial farms of the rich, or to take up begging or prostitution, or to turn to banditry. The people Jesus grew up with had a strong ethic of collective solidarity. The Torah they had read out to them Sabbath by Sabbath told them to stick up for one another, to look out for each other, to cling to community values of mutual help and interdependence. But this ethic was breaking down under the weight of the pressures I mentioned before. Sometimes it turned against the people it was supposed to help. The rules relating to tithing, Sabbath keeping, and ritual purity were effective in maintaining a distinct sense of identity. But the losers in the new Galilean economy couldn't keep them, and so they were now offside with their religion. Jesus must have pondered on all this in his growing up years as he turned the words of the prophets over in his mind and began to fashion the good news of relief, redemption, and community renewal. One final geographical feature. The way of the sea, mentioned in the Isaiah reading, isn't a romantic coastal view. It's a road bisecting Galilee from north to south. Since Galilee is at the top of the Holy Land, it means that the way of the sea is, in effect, a military highway for any invading army intent on striking a knockout blow at Jerusalem. It is the route the Roman legions used 40 years after Jesus' death to get south and eliminate the Jewish revolt based on their capital city. En route, they burnt out and slaughtered the inhabitants of many of the places Jesus ministered in. Maybe the people of Judea regarded Galileans as country bumpkins, but those hicks lived in a border zone of strategic importance. So the authorities in the far-off Jerusalem were interested in what their country cousins were up to. A charismatic religious leader who could gather the crowds to him with a message of community solidarity rooted in the experience of the people would get the attention of those intent on making sure that the boat wasn't rocked. Why have I detained you with a geography lesson this morning? Simply this. Geography matters to the followers of Jesus in every generation. We need to know the details of the place in which Jesus lived and ministered, because they shed light on the message he preached. The more we understand the background, the more profound our grasp of the good news. Jesus was a flesh and blood person with a message of hope and comfort and joy for the specific situation of the people he grew up with and lived amongst. He knew them, cared about them, was interested in them. The marvelous thing about his message is it can be reached out and earth itself in any situation, any age, any place, and any society. The gospel has this wonderful double-edged quality of being both a universal hope for everyone while offering at the same time a specific hope for each locality and individual. This earthed quality of the gospel matters. Jesus didn't utter timeless truths for the spiritually deep and intellectually acute, those who have abstracted themselves from the sordid and banal details of their time and place. This congregation, this parish, this neighbourhood, and this city is the group and the place where Jesus asks us to live out our life of faith. These people in church with us this morning, these parishioners I knock along with in different situations throughout the year, the neighbours in my street, my work colleagues, the bores, the pests, the enemies, the people who attract and repel me, the people I love who exasperate me, the people I'm afraid of, the people who inspire me and fascinate me. These people and this spread out city at the bottom of the world are our Galilee. Stanley Spencer was onto something when he located the details of the gospel story in the particulars of the village of Cookham that he loved so much. It is our task too, to accept the people we are with now and the place we are in as the specific locality in which we will now live out the rhythm and pattern of the gospel way. May God give us eyes to see our place as this particular contemporary version of Galilee. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.